Be seated.
I'll ask if you turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to speak about a singular word and see if we can make some application and get some help, because it's a word that either has been changed in meaning or has lost all meaning in the day and age and culture in which we live in. The word is sincerity. Sincerity. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, we'll be looking at verse 17 as our beginning text, and see if we can get some understanding of what the Bible says on this matter of sincerity. Heavenly Father, I ask you to help us to recover some of these things that you have put in your word and have slipped out of our memories, or maybe out of even being explained to us. Help us to bow before the authority of your word. Help us in our hearts to fear you and worship you and love your Son Jesus without compromise. Help us to follow him. Help us to live lives that are absolutely sincere. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our chief text is 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Few words of explanation about the verse. There are majorities and there are minorities. The majority corrupt God's word. The minority, Paul was in it, the church at Corinth was in it, and I hope you're in it. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God. People corrupt the word of God in varied fashions. Some of them corrupt what is written or printed for us and use so-called Bibles that are really corrupted versions of the scriptures. Some corrupt it in their mind. They read what's right, but they have mental reservations or strange definitions, or take exception in their mind to the Word of God and thus corrupt it. Some of them corrupt it in their heart. I don't like it. I won't follow it. I won't be what it tells me I ought to be. When it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, I will forsake because I get tired of going to church. I'm tired of hearing the Word of God. I have other things I'd rather do. And so they corrupt the Word of God in their hearts. Some of them just corrupt it by their life. They know what God said, but they don't intend to obey God at all. And so their life is a corruption of the Word of God, like those in Titus 2 that blaspheme the Word of God by their disobedience to God Himself. The majority of people, one way or another, corrupt the Word of God. They don't want it. They want it changed to be what they want. They want it to adjust to themselves. And so they corrupt it sooner or later. It's sad, but the majority of the world has ever been like that. This corruption started in Genesis, where Satan said that God hath not said, and he changed what God said. And then Eve changed it, and sin came on the human race. This corruption continued into the times of the prophet Jeremiah, where people were perverting the scriptures and changing it to make people happy. It continued in the Gospels, where people would take what Jesus said and twist it, right down to two witnesses that lied about what he said part of it, added to it, subtracted some of it, to try to get them crucified. Neither did their witness agree, the Bible says. It was going on in the days of the Apostle Paul. It's always gone on and it'll continue to go on, that the many will corrupt the Word of God. But you can be part of the blessed minority that does not corrupt the Word of God. Look at our text again. For we, the minority, are not as many, those others, which corrupt the Word of God. In contrast to those that corrupt the Word of God, there are some specific marks. And for months, God's been dealing with me on one of these marks. But as of sincerity, that's what I want to speak to you about. You see, the Word of God, when it's taken as it is, will make you sincere. And sincere people are willing to take the Word of God as it is. So sincere people want the Word of God, and the Word of God helps them to be sincere. And the first mark of the minority is there as of sincerity. The other marks, which we'll just note, but as of God. The ones that don't corrupt the Word of God are the ones that are of God. Their sincerity shows it. They're in the light of God. Speak we in Christ. They're able thus to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is and what He means to people. But let's note that of sincerity. For God says it does not belong to those that corrupt the Word of God. It belongs to those that do not corrupt the Word of God, nor do they want a corrupted form of the Word of God. Now this word, sincerity, is an English word, and a good word it is. It comes from the Latin. The Latin root word for sincerity means without wax. Sort of a strange definition. But here's what it meant. When people would make their pottery, and they'd finish a vessel or a group of vessels, and they'd put them to the oven for them to be baked, and when they came out, unfortunately, some of the vessels had a little crack or spot in it that wasn't quite right. And so the craftsman had a choice. He could either go with what was genuine and right and destroy the rest of them, or he could get a hold of some wax and color that wax to match the vessel and then work that wax into that crack until you could not tell by looking at it there'd ever been a crack. Unless it was an intelligent buyer who would take the vessel and hold it up to the sunlight and turn it around and see where the wax was. Sincerity means without wax. No covering up of the weaknesses. Deal with them. No trying to look more than you really are. Sincerity. And so the English word, sincerity, comes from the Latin. I believe it's sincere. And it means without wax. It's the genuine article. You say, yes, but God had our New Testament written in Greek. And that's true. That's true. And while I rarely do this, let me tell you what the Greek thought on the word sincere. He had five words for it. They were similar words, and they have meanings, and we've lost the idea of what it means, sincerity. For example, here are some synonyms. It means clearness. It means purity. It means judged by sunlight. Sound like they had the same idea the Latin stuff did, doesn't it? Judged by sunlight, you know, you can get something in a store and think the color's right, but if you take it outside in the sunlight, you may say, oh, that's not what I was looking for. Sincerity, it's what it claims to be, and it's been judged by sunlight. It also means tested as genuine or honest. It has the meaning of undeceitful, unadulterated. It has an incorruptibility. You don't corrupt the sincere person. And there's an incorruption. It has the idea of unending existence. That's an existence and a genuineness that's there. An immortality. We're of sincerity. It has the idea involved in it of legitimate birth or own, such as in my own son. Legitimate. Legitimacy. Sincerity means that we legitimately belong to God. We are not ones that are just pawning ourselves off that way. Genuine. True. It has its roots, the words for sincerity, in words like birthday and nativity, and in undeceiving, undecaying in both essence and in continuing, that it's not going to decay or become something less. Clean, innocent, modest, chaste, perfect, no wile, no trick, no craft, no deceit, no bait, no guile, no subtlety. That's an awful lot to pack into one word, isn't it? Sincerity. It's hard to find sincere Christians. Ones that are sincere about the Bible, sincere about Jesus, sincere in their walk with God. So much fraud and cover-up. The word sincere shows up 3 times in the Old Testament. And that word has the concept of being entire, complete, without blemish, without spot. That's some New Testament thinking, isn't it? In the Old Testament, sincere means full, perfect, sound, upright, undefiled, whole, truthful, integrity, has all of these meanings in it. Now, we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity. But we live in a day when people, mission boards, will raise money claiming to believe in the old Word of God. But in practice, they use anything but. That's not being sincere. There are Bible schools, colleges, and seminaries say we use the old Word of God, but they teach them differently in the classroom. That's not being very truthful, genuine, tested by light, judged, and found genuine. That's not so. They've lost that of sincerity. It would seem that anybody involved using a corrupted Bible or corrupting the Word of God might be incapable of total sincerity. No matter how seriously wrong they are, they don't understand the positive virtues found in that of sincerity. There are those that say they hold to the old Hebrew and Greek underneath our good King James Version, but they twist and turn it, Westcott and Hort, Nessel and Allen, Farstead and Hodges, Well, I got their names messed up. That was not intentional. They do those things and come out with everything from a new King James to anti-King James translations of the Word of God. They tell us that the oldest is the best. I suspect they search for their furniture at the city dump. And yet, if they'd be honest, The oldest fragments are older than their complete copies, which aren't really complete. They have thousands of omissions, but they have picked and chosen so they could attack. They've not been honest in their scholarship, and they have a following, but they do not meet God's standard of sincerity. They change a little here, they change a little there, they add a little of this, they question that. I said unto teachers, it said, you can't use the last 12 verses of the Mark chapter 16, you can't use 1 John 5:7, you can't use 1 Timothy 3:16 to prove anything. And when they got done with this, I wished I'd torn a page out every time they questioned something. I wouldn't have had much of a Bible to hand to the president when I graduated. Oh, it's pitiful what they've done. That's not sincerity, genuine trusting. That's joining those that ridicule and attack the precious Word of God that we believe. We are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity. They don't rise to the standard and definition God gives of sincerity. There's a lot of wax in their arguments where they've tried to pull wool over people's eyes. They seem to be the very thing of hypocrisy. They say, but they do not. But sincerity argues against every point of hypocrisy, whether in the book of Job or Matthew 23 or anywhere else that it's dealt with in the Scripture. You see, this is a character issue. It has to do with how you think and how you operate. How do you choose when you're faced with the facts? Will you go on with the many, the crowds, the majority, that are under the condemnation of God? Or will you change and stand for the truth and be sincere and open without any guile or manipulation? Will you choose to run with friends and please them, or to be right and please God? This is the test of a person's sincerity. You see, the Bible tells us a lot about opposites of sincerity. I gave you a number of synonyms to help you understand, but let me give you some words that speak of the insincere, such as fictional, false, imagination or imaginary, imitation, wavering, imperfect, sort of like seconds at a discount place. They are not total and genuine. They are flawed, unreal as far as the world. They live in an unreal world. We call it virtual reality, because it's not real reality. How you can have reality without being reality, I don't know, but I understand there's some of those things they call reality shows that have something less than reality in many cases on it. There's that which is partially correct, partially right, corrupted. And we could go on and on. I've got a whole list of them. But these are words that speak of something less than sincere. The Bible tells us about people who were not sincere. Appeared one thing, but were something else. For example, there was Judas Iscariot. There was Thomas, the disciple. There was Peter, who died for Jesus, but lied to a maid when she raised the subject. There was Demas, who was false to Paul and the gospel. There was Ananias and Sapphira, who tried to deceive the church on the matter of their giving. There was Barnabas, who cared more about his nephew than the principles of the Word of God. There were the Sadducees, who'd ask about what happens when somebody dies and goes to heaven, and they didn't believe in a heaven. I'd say that was an insincere question. The Pharisees were insincere in many of their questions, particularly in dealing with the matter of authority and John the Baptist. There were all kinds of groups that were ashamed and less than what they ought to be. They were not sincere when it came down to the very issue. Now, with that in mind, our scripture, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. Let's see a little what the Bible says about it. Turn with me quickly to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua. In chapter 24. Joshua, chapter 24, and verse 14. And I want you to see that it requires sincerity to be able to rightly serve God. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Service is to be with sincerity. No wax, no guile, no dishonesty, open, continual, genuine, tested by sunlight, judged as genuine. That's how we're to serve God. A lot of people have a lot of wax, covering a lot of things, trying to look like something they are not. The Bible tells us of people like that and the sad end they came to. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Tells about putting away the gods, small g, of your fathers. It's just because your religion is in the family doesn't make it right. Is it of the Jehovah God of the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, Creator of all things, Judge of all things, Sovereign in all of His actions, leading us to work and to serve Him? Do we with sincerity follow Him? Or do we try to serve Him? And by the way, that sincerity and truth, first four mentions of sincerity in the Bible, all have in the verse the partner of truth. As if you might miss it in the word sincerity, truth is a definite partner that goes. You can read the rest of the verse. If you're taking notes, you can put down Judges chapter 9 and verse 16 and Judges 9 and verse 19. But let's hurry to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The word only shows up in three forms, sincerity, 7, sincere, twice, and sincerely, I think it is, three times, a total of a dozen times. It's amazing that the word we're looking at, God reserved for seven usages in the Scriptures. Here we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Now, it told us that Jesus is our Passover. We're to keep with Him. We're to worship the Lord Jesus. Keep the feast, not with leaven. Leaven's a picture of sin. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, attitudes and behavior that are wrong, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, this is in chapter 5, a chapter normally thought of for discipline, but it's telling us how we're to worship Jesus in sincerity and truth. We're to serve Him, see Him as the one that lets God's judging angel pass over us. Because of Jesus and His blood, we can worship the one that brought us deliverance. But it must be done in sincerity and truth, not just in word. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1. God lays these out in ways that we can understand some basic truths of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world. That's how we live there. And more abundantly to your word. We've learned simplicity and godly sincerity in our lives. True Christian living requires sincerity out in front of a whole world that's watching. Keep it simple. Stay sincere. You say, but they wheel, deal, manipulate, finagle, and everything else. Well, they need to see something different, don't they? See somebody that's genuine, true, incorruptible, going to stand, consistent, right, can be tested, found to be genuine, because they're sincere. That's how we live in front of the world, as well as in front of Christians. We come to the next mention, 2 Corinthians 2:17. It is our text that we've been looking at. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. They're not sincere in service. They're not sincere in their living. One man who played around on the Bible issue, when he died, there were great discoveries made. People came to his funeral. And one group discovered to their amazement that this fellow who spoke regularly in a Christian university that should have checked his background was not only a member of an ecumenical church, but he was well known and an excellent player in the blues movement. The people in the blues movement and in the ecumenical church circle discovered he'd been trying to run with the fundamentalists. And they'd never had a clue about it. I tell you, there was a lot of wax in his vessel, no matter which side people were looking at, what he had to cover. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, and thus we're as of God. And we live towards God and speak in the Lord Jesus Christ. But go on over to chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. You see, we have a true Bible to be true Bible believers, sincere in our belief of the Word of God, not just when it's convenient and find a way to get around the rest of it. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now this has to do with giving. That they were sincere in their giving. Not putting on a front like Ananias and Sapphira, but sincere. That their love was a sincere love that motivated them to giving. They didn't give because of need. Their need, other people's needs. They didn't give to try to manipulate God or impress people. But rather because there was a sincerity in their soul. Go on to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 24. Each of the uses of the word sincerity in the New Testament teaches us another profound truth. Verse 24 of Ephesians 6, grace be with all them that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. The capstone to the book of Ephesians. There's a sincere love, no wax, judged genuine, tested and proved. Sunlight shows it's real. Oh, how is your love for Jesus? Is it immortal without end? Is it incorruptible? Would money corrupt? Would fun corrupt? Would people's opinion corrupt your love for Jesus and loyalty to Him? Are you absolutely sincere in that love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse number 10. That we may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Jesus is coming, and your sincerity ought to hold up to His return. And then you'll have something to have confidence in and to be able to move on. You imagine people trying to act like Christians, look like Christians, fool the people around them. And then Jesus comes, and they're exposed, tested and failed by the Son of Righteousness. Well, that's one of His titles. Let's go to verse 16, same chapter. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Paul was in a Roman jail for standing for Jesus, and people went out teaching and preaching, but they weren't sincere about it, and they thought that'd only make things worse for Paul. Do we know how to be sincere in presenting Christ? Whether it would cost us to join Paul in the holy shackles serving Jesus in the jail? Or are we going to be insincere and pull punches to keep people satisfied? We need a day of sincerity rising up again. Turn on over to Titus chapter 2 and verse 7. It's almost as God's hastening coming towards the end of the New Testament, and He's packing things in on this subject of sincerity. In verse 7, it says, in Titus 2, verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. He says, you be sincere in your works, and you be sincere in your doctrine. He puts two of them in that verse, like He's packing it in tight. But the truth is, what you really believe shows up in what you really do. What you really do shows what you really believe. And so the two are almost like Siamese twins. Our works and our doctrine. Go to the last mention of it. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. So keep coming back to the Bible and take another drink. Come back to the Bible and get that totally rounded food. Come back to the Bible. There's no wax. There's nothing you have to worry about. It's incorruptible. It's immortal. It cannot be changed. It cannot be defiled. It is pure. It has been tested as genuine. It can be counted on. You can open up the Bible and let the light look at it and find that every word is true and useful. And so you come to the Word. It's the sincere Word of God. I told you there is that marvelous relationship between the Word of God and the people. When you come for the sincere milk of the Word, it'll help you be sincere. And when you're sincere, You'll want the sincere milk of the Word. You see, you start to take on the very nature of the Scriptures and the nature of the God of the Scriptures. You start to grow. After you're saved, you make progress. You're thirsty and hungry for the Word of God. You don't have to say, well, there was a Bible absolutely perfect, but man has messed it up. That's what they teach in 99% of the Bible schools of America. The ones that don't are a whole lot easier to keep track of than those that do mess it up. But there, they say it's been changed. We're doing our best to get it as close to right as we can. We have scholars adding words and taking away words and changing this and that. The truth is, the sincere word's been around for people to be saved and for them to grow on all along. And these people are not sincere. If you'll examine their writings and their arguments and their statements, you'll find them most insincere. Why? Because there are the many that corrupt the Word of God. But we are not of that crowd. We are of sincerity for a sincere Bible. Totally trustworthy. Aren't you glad God gave it pure? Aren't you glad God kept it pure? Aren't you glad you get to study it purely? That's why He's going to make you one day without blemish, without spot. For we discover as we go along that there are some flaws in our souls. And we come back to the Creator who's going to help us with those flaws. We don't rub our wax in. Oh no, we want reality. Not virtual condition, not unreal. We want the purity. So we come to the sincere Word that'll help us be totally sincere. And we don't come to adjust the Word to us, but have God adjust us to the Word. Heavenly Father, help us to live sincerely, openly, honestly, without trick. Help us to let the world see there is something that's genuine in the midst of so much that's empty and false. Help us stand faithfully for Your Word. Help us to proclaim Your Word. Help us to feed on Your Word. Help us to be changed by Your Word. And Father, we're looking forward when we'll one day be without spot and blemish in Your presence. Thank You for sending Jesus to make it possible. I ask these things in His precious name. Amen. Brother Harold, will you give us a hymn to close with? If the Lord's dealing with you, you obey. If you need prayer or counsel, you feel free to come. If you've been saved recently, God's done a work and you're moving in the realms towards and making progress on sincerity. Fine. We want reality here. And that's what God wants us to have. What number do you have? 234, 1 of the Lord's blood. First and last verses, 234. Let's stand as we sing.